Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Miranda Ioannou. I'm actively involved in the meetings industry, both in MPI as well as in ICA. Today I will be presenting the issue of how strategic meetings management can turn organizations around. And I have to recognize that in the room we have a lot of people who are already seasoned professionals in this industry, as well as newcomers to the industry. So my intention is mainly to ensure that when you leave this room, if you're a newcomer to the industry, you will know how powerful events can be in a company. And if you're a seasoned professional, if you haven't thought about it like this before, it would be an honor if I actually can turn you around and look at events from another point of view than just delivering events. So, small technical thinking. Let's see if this looks familiar. Yeah, go ahead, have a seat. And by the way, I would have preferred to have the room set up in rounds because at some point I would want you to turn around and discuss some things. But at any given time, please feel free to interrupt me if you have any addition to make, if you have any questions, or if you feel that you really need to step in and talk about something. So tell me if this looks familiar. This? Typical? Some meetings? Okay, well, you don't have to be a firefighter every time. So there are ways to plan ahead in order to avoid situations like that and actually avoid other situations as well, not just people falling asleep. Wait. Just a second with the people that are coming in. It's not going well. So events are a very big cost for money to be wasted. I'm sorry about that. It seems that this thing is not working with me, or I don't know how to work at it. Let's keep it simple. You're focused on meetings. Can I get a show of hands? Who's coming from association-related meetings? Okay. Corporate? Thank you. Governmental, anybody? Well, another, academic or just sort of browsing? Yeah, good. So we all know that types of meetings we have internal meetings for companies, we have external meetings that relate to clients, getting up our name in branding, developing our brand, developing our marketing, getting market share. But that's a thorny issue, actually. Usually, the standard procedure would be to allocate a budget. Let me try and work with this because this is very tough for me sitting here. Oh. Okay, here. Execute the event. What else? Possibly follow up, if you follow up. No impact measurement of what you're doing. Pay the bills. Repeat. Is that a normal thing for people who are sitting in the room to have this process? You're told to do an event, you just do the event, you know, possibly follow up with some of the people that came up, sponsors and whatever, pay the bills, repeat. Is that the standard practice usually? Yeah? I get a lot of nods. Well, that's not the way we think it should be. If we go back to MPI's event view from 2009, we will see that event marketing represents 27% of the marketing budget. If we consider that an average marketing budget spend of any given company ranges between 3 to 10% depending on the company, we're talking about a lot of money. That's more than a quarter of the marketing budget. In the last 4 years, we have seen a significant drop in all kinds of market spending. The one that was mostly hit was event marketing, especially in 2008. That is what we are calling the AIG effect, because the data that was received from EventView are mostly based on data from North America. But that reflects also what is happening in the other countries and also in Europe. Maybe not to that extent, but it's very close. So we see that event marketing along with online marketing represent one of the highest costs of or the highest parts of allocation of budget in the marketing in the marketing part of a company, even though they have been decreased in the last years. So how do the meetings impact the bottom line? We're just going to see with numbers first, and then we'll go in details. The greatest ROI in marketing comes out from event marketing, 30%. That's 2008 figures, followed by web marketing. The ROI of external events comes usually from trade shows and conferences. And the ROI for internal events comes from educational training or sales and marketing meetings. So why are the meetings providing the highest ROI compared to all the other mediums in the marketing mix? Because there's in-person contact, it reaches a higher targeted audience, number of people reached are more usually and more specific. Anybody wants to add anything else on that? Do you think it's covered by that, or do you think event marketing does much more than what is written on the slide? These are just the metrics that were used for event view. No? So the discipline that best accelerates and deepens relationships within the marketing mix is by far event marketing. And that's based on the event view data of 2008. Can I get some interaction in the room now? So, yes, let's have it.
So when you say event marketing, what do you put into that?
When I say event marketing is defined as the mix of various types of events, whether they are internal meetings and external meetings, conferences, trade shows, the whole works. Do you think that it does have an impact on the company? Thank you. If you can see the slides, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think it's having an impact. Definitely. Having the personal contacts, getting to new people face by face. But how to measure it is a different issue.
There are methods to measure it, of course, yes. Does anybody have anything else to add as far as whether you agree or disagree, at least, as to whether events have such a big impact on companies? Noah? Yeah? Can I have your name? Because the session is recorded. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does have an impact, a huge impact. We organise the largest cancer conference in Europe, and our Berlin meeting last year, we went global. And what it did for the organisation is that we have a lot more contact with public, with governments, and you know, because we do policy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we went global, so we have now links with other organisations around the world.
Great. And that helped?
Yeah, we have. One of the reasons it did very well was because we had a very good media program.
Okay.
Which helped a lot.
Great. So you were able to take your message out. Great. Well, there are there's a big dirty road ahead for most of the companies. Does anybody remember that from university? For those who have taken any economics classes? Well, the value chain, as well as a few other models that you will see further down the road, can be used to prove why, really, meetings affect organizations, both internally and internally and externally. Let's take, for instance, the firm infrastructure, which is, this is, for those who don't know, this is the Porter's value chain, which basically represents what are the components of a company in order to go to market. What are the departments or components that are required by an organization in order to be operative in a market. The support activities have been enhanced from the original model, including external networks, and that means our suppliers, our sponsors, if we are a membership organization. And the primary activities of the organization are the components of an organization or a company that are necessary for it to run and operate in the market. These have been enhanced by the fact that we are having a product use and an end of primary use placed between the marketing of, and sales and service. That is why if we look at each and every one of these components of a company, we will see that event marketing somehow correlates to all of them. Let's take it one by one. Firm infrastructure, that means having an office, having a setup, the board of directors, the structure of the company. Does that play any role in having events? It does? Who said yes? Yeah. Can you explain why?
Because it has influence on the meeting, on the goals of the meetings, actually, because there are different parts of the stakeholders mm-hmm. we have to include on the meeting.
Okay. Well, what about the external networks? Does anybody want to comment on that? External networks, I don't want to make your life tough in the morning at 10 o'clock trying to get an interactive session. External networks, that would mean your sponsors, how you interact with them, how you interact with your suppliers, what kind of deals are you doing? And that definitely impacts the events you're holding. If you don't have sponsorships, you don't have events. If you don't have good suppliers, you cannot deliver good events. If you have suppliers who are very expensive, then you have a high cost. These are some examples. Human resource management. Who are the people running the events? Who are the people who are hired as temporary staff if you're providing that to the events? The technology development. What kind of IT goes in the back end of an event? The financials of the company, very, very, very back end. At the front end, a registration system. Something like the SpotMe device. It all ties in together. What about procurement? The people with the money. Nothing goes past there unless it's approved. Let's go to the primary activities. If most of the organizations we're talking about are service companies, we're probably not talking about a generic supply chain at the back end. You don't have any products that you're producing, so you don't need any raw material. But at the end of the day, you need to have the skills of the people who are working for you or that you're outsourcing so that you're able to do whatever is required as inbound logistics so that you can prepare for the event and have the operations so that you can deliver the outbound logistics, which is essentially the event. Marketing and sales, how do you promote the event if you're talking about an event? How do you sell seats to an event or get the participants coming? And when they are actually at the event, how are they going to use the educational information that you're providing to them, the networking and everything else? So that is the service that you're providing. And how are they going to be using it at the end of the day when they leave the conference? So if we analyze it like this, we see that there's a lot at stake coming in from a company, both internally and externally, and events touch everything. Let's see it from another point of view. The McKinsey 7S, which is again one of the basic frameworks that is used in management, indicates the 7 S. Each S represents the S word starting in each of the circles there. These are key components of how a company interrelates within itself. Yes? We had the hard S's, which is strategy, structure, and systems. Structure, again, refers to the setup of the company and how it works. The strategy on how it is perceived from the management and how it's rolled down to all the staff to carry out. Systems, that could include how the workflow goes in the company or actually how the IT systems work in the company. And all of these are interrelated with the style or how the company is managed, how they are actually promoting their services outside. The staff that are within the company and what knowledge they have or how they interact with the clients, the skills they have, as well as shared values, which in other words, we call it culture, what's the culture of the organization. All these interact between them so that we can get the go-to-market offering of a company. So can you see how this could fit for an event? If we don't just take it for a company, and we consider that we have a case coming out from the board of directors strategy that was set for the company, the vision, mission, and statement of the company of where does it want to go, what do they want to achieve. And I'm not saying that you're going to be deciding about that, but you need to be aware because you will be the person or the team that would be called on to execute effectively and deliver the means to get to that strategy and achieve their specific goals. So if you're coming down from a management decision having to deliver an event, what would be the strategy for the event? What kind of structure would be used if we take it for the event? But again, it's not just for the event. If you take it from within the company, where does your event fit in all these circles so that you can get the best out of it? And this is another model which is used to identify it's called balance scorecard. It's used to identify what do we have to do in order to achieve the vision and the strategy of the organization. Consider that for any given event that you will be trying to deliver, this should be a checkpoint. Why? If we go through the various points that we have there, to succeed financially, how should we appear to our shareholders? How does that come through an event? It doesn't come through all the events. To achieve our vision, how should we appear to our customers? So what are the things that we need to do in order to be able to get into the minds of our customers, keep them loyal, or keep them coming to us if they are not already? To achieve our vision, how will we sustain our ability to change and improve? Are we always going to be delivering the same event? And so why are we expecting more people to come or make it more interesting? To satisfy our shareholders and customers, what business processes must we excel at? Well, definitely something to do with the event that you're planning, but also internally. So that, how is that reflected to the events that you're organizing for a company? This is just to get you thinking. So, what does SMM mean really? The fact that meetings are an integral component of the organization's overall strategy, including CSR. If I want to make it more clear, I would give you an example. Let's say you have a meeting that was originating from the sales department. They wanted to have a sales meeting in order to inform all the existing customers about new products that were coming out in the market. If that would have been an association, about new offerings of the association or the annual congress. The meeting goes sort of okay. It's not a spectacular event. people are giving mediocre critiques about the sessions. You have an okay attendance, but not over the roof. And at the end of the day, you need to assess it. How did that event impact your organization? How did that event impact your organization? The first thing that your stakeholders are going to say is what? Maybe you won't hear that directly from the shareholders. Maybe you won't hear that directly from the staff. But definitely the message that you gave out as an organization or as an association is that you can be sort of okay. You can deliver a sort of okay and mediocre event. You didn't work hard enough to know what did they want to hear or find the appropriate content to intrigue them. And you have actually put yourself out and your reputation as a company or as an organization by delivering a mediocre event. You might as well not have held it. In order to achieve that, you need to have seamless integration with other corporate functions. Many people think that the meeting planning department is just a department that does all the meetings and don't have to answer to anybody. They just get a budget and they have to do the meetings. But that's not so true. It happens in many organizations that the meetings are handled by specific people who are just given the task of create the meeting, deliver the meeting, make sure you make it very well, and this is how I want it, without actually giving all the details and breaking down what do they really want to achieve with the meeting. As we have seen before, meetings touch all departments of companies. So no one department can really have the complete stakeholding or responsibility for a meeting. Yes, some people are specialists in actually delivering it, but the people will have to actually get some help from all the other people who are within the company departments in order to be able to do their job best. That would be making sure that the marketing people are giving the message out about the event on time and to appropriate channels and with appropriate means. The sales are doing a good job in actually receiving participation if it's a paid event or if it's for their customers, making sure their customers are aware about the event and they really want to attend, selling the actual event. Procurement will not be a stopper in between the whole scenario by coming up, as we have found in several occasions, especially in pharmaceutical companies, where the place where where the meeting is going to be held is a prohibited place based on some rules that are already existing. And we are trying to choose whether the meeting would be appropriate in X space, X venue, or Y venue, when we haven't really thought about what exactly are we trying to deliver to that, and it's not just the cost of the venue, which might sound better to the procurement department. Same goes for HR and IT. So, content, relationship, supply chain, process optimization, stakeholder management. We all know that these people or these categories of people are required in order to do an event effectively. You need the speakers, investors, sponsors, partners, suppliers, members, employees, delegates. You need all these to do an event. But they're not just there in order to attend the event or in order for you to create the event and just deliver it. At the end of the day, you need to go back and revisit why each of these categories need to have a stakeholder in the event and what is the value proposition that you're delivering back to them. Anybody has any comments on that so far? So, of course, that means you have to get the meetings things right, meaning whatever it is that meeting planners do, you're supposed to get it right. But you need to keep the other things in mind. Even if you're not directly involved with them, You need to push further up in the organization and get this information. You also need to include in the whole SMM thing the real, actual, and measurable impact on the bottom line, the return on investment and the return on objectives. We have with us Elik Hamso from the ROI Institute in Europe. We're going to see further down in the slides what does Jack Phillips think of how events can be measured, very briefly. But at the end of the day, you don't do an event just in order to create an event and say that, okay, this year we've done 100 events as a company. Okay, what did you achieve with those events at the end of the day? And you need to create or come to a point where there's an elevation for your organization within the industry after you deliver effective events in the sort of context way of creating all of them together. Elevation within the industry would come if you're considered as a thought leader, if you're delivering value content for the education, if you're bringing people together and creating synergies in your events. You're building trust, you're setting the bar high, and you're creating customers or members who are evangelists. They would always want to come back to your events because they find the most value. So measure, not just plan well, measure. This is the model of Jack Phillips that I was talking about earlier, and I'm going to go through it very, very quickly. At the bottom of the pyramid, you will see that Jack Phillips identified that there's satisfaction and perceived value. So as soon as somebody comes out of an event, what do they think about the sessions and about the event as a whole? Mm-hmm. When you go out from this session, you will have a perceived value from this session. You have either wasted your time here or have learned something, gained something, and you feel okay with that. So that's the first basic level of the ROI pyramid. At the second level, you have actually learned something, and you feel that you have taken away from a session at least one or two good things, if we're talking about a session. If we're talking about a conference, consider the whole thing together. At a more elevated level, you are able to apply whatever you have learned in that session or that conference in your everyday work. And that's an even more enhanced way of getting an ROI from the event back. And that at the upper level, you actually have a business impact, which is measurable, and you know that it's a direct impact from your attendance at that session or at that event, or because you have created an event, people attended, and with the feedback you have received through the ROI metrics, you know that they have a direct impact on their business from their participation. So that's the pure ROI at the top. That's where you want to get. And it's not easy. It's a complex procedure, and people will have to start early and start small, building it up. Not wanting to end up like this. Some pitfalls. Meetings are a powerful tool, and the business goals should lead, not the tools. So it's not about how many meetings we're going to have this year. It's about what do we want to achieve and which meetings or other forms of marketing are going to deliver that for us. What is most appropriate in our case? And again, I recognize that you're not usually the person that you will be questioned in order to decide that, but it's your not decision. It's your I'm missing the word here. It's something that you have to do. Go back to the management and make sure that if the meetings that you're assigned don't fit the purpose the way you see it, speak up and explain to them why. Not having a clear strategy or C-level support, resulting in having other departments cannibalizing your meetings and your role in general. We talked about, very briefly, the finance department and what they can do to your meetings. You decide, along with the brief that was given to you, that this meeting should be held at a five-star resort because we have XXXXX people that have to attend and they fit the profile of being there and the cost is so much. And you're allowed to do that. Let's say it's not a pharmaceutical meeting. You're allowed to do that. There's no problem with the regulations. But somebody else decides that, no, you better choose a cheaper venue because I'm from the procurement and I can tell you that your budget is not going to be approved like that. Clear strategy from C-level will prevent that. And as long as you have a hold on that, nothing will be able to stop you from within the company. Then, not being able to prove the value of your meetings? Well, I'm sure that most of you in this room don't know the value of the existing meetings that you have. So the first step would be to go actually back and find something to measure what you have already done and see where you want to go. That's the only way you can start proving the value of your meetings and then make a proper plan for it using the ROI methodology. So, some food for thought. I'm going to open the floor because I want to hear what you have to say about the fact of having meetings as a strategic tool within a company. Do you really know what are you trying to achieve by holding that meeting? How would you know if your meeting was effective when you hold a meeting? Why would attendees come to your meeting? What are they expecting to learn or gain from networking point of view, from an experience point of view, anything? Does your concept of what they should be gaining and what they are actually gaining converge? Do you really know? Are there any add-ons that may be benefit to the attendees that you can discuss with the stakeholders or others that should be added to the meeting? Do you have the appropriate resources and know-how in order to execute this meeting properly? The people, the skills, the staff, the money, the connections, the target audience? How will you use the outcome of the meeting? How do you anticipate the meeting impacting your bottom line and when? So, if top executives request ROI, return on investment, and return on objectives that they set as a company, it may be already too late in the process if they have actually come to the point of asking you that. Time to be proactive. The time to pursue measurement is when you don't need it. When you don't need it, prepare to have the measurement and prepare to show the value for your meeting to the stakeholders, even if they don't request it. It's not a simple task or a quick fix. It's a very complicated process, and it has to be very well thought through. If the staff involved don't see the need for measurement, it will fail to be measured. It's a proven fact from all that has been done, all the research that has been done in the past, and from us applying it. Without the support from management or the attendees, if the message doesn't fall from the top down and people don't have an uptake on it, it will fail to be measured. So you need to have appropriate strategies in place to ensure that if you want really to have a measurement of an event, you will set the right things in place so that you can really measure it. So, how do we go about it? The roadmap to SMM. Start from the top. C-level support by getting historical data and making your case. Assess the current marketing strategy. This is a standard process. Why do you hold the meetings? Do you need a rethought? What are the objectives that you're trying to achieve with the meetings that you're holding? Is it fit for the purpose you're doing it? A gap analysis, again, a standard method of assessing something. Where are you? Where do you want to go? Define the needs. Who who's going to be doing what? When are they going to be doing it? With what means they're going to be doing it? Consider that some people might have stakeholder needs. Some people might really want to have a meeting just because they're obliged to a specific set of customers, and they need to justify why and how it fits into the whole organizational strategy, the fact that they're obliged to a specific part of customers. What are the needs of the company in general? Taking into account meeting design, like not just a plain room, not having just sessions after sessions, including like this one, where I'm just talking alone and I don't get any feedback from you. But and whether we are holding interactive sessions, whether we are holding open space sessions, goals to be achieved in an engaging and a result-oriented manner. What else? Define who decides what and why, as well as what's the workflow between the organization. If you need approvals in order to do a meeting, if you need to engage the IT department, the HR department, how does that flow within the organization? Do you just go and knock on their doors? Is there an actual software process that goes through them, that comes back to you, or is it just an approval process? Synergize with your suppliers and sponsors. Prepare for ROI and ROO measurement. And of course, again, use best practices for event management execution at all level and for all aspects. Use specialists, outsource where necessary, obtain timely and structured feedback. But again, most importantly, if you involve people from the top, you should keep them in the loop. That's the only way they can be your allies in the long term. You have to regularly revisit the strategy and make sure that if you keep doing events and measuring them and evaluating them, you need to be going back to the strategy at all times and ensure that the things that you have decided in the beginning are still valid. And deliver excellence every time. So at this point, I'm going to break for a second. And I would like to hear, what are you doing within your organizations for this? I went through the whole process very, very quickly. I don't know if some of the things I said you are familiar with, and I don't know if some of the things you're using, if some of the things you're actually objecting in that they are holding true to the meetings, in relation to meetings. So I just need to get some sort of feedback from you. You missed the microphone. Who wants to go first? There you go. They get to choose? Mike.
I just wanted to add to this how exciting it actually is for your daily job as well, not mm-hmm. to just do what you did last year, but in all the little steps, every time you think, oh, why are we doing this? Because mm-hmm. we have done it for the past 10 years, so it's not just something strategic that you do at the beginning. You actually do it in every day, every hour. You think, oh, why, what, how? Mm-hmm. So it's not just a management process, you know, you decide and then you do your work. It's something that, yeah, you work with every hour of the day.
Yeah.
And it enhances creativity, you know, in your whole department. So it should not just be the manager or the director who's working on strategic management. Everybody in each department should be aware of it.
Yes.
So, because, it is motivating as well, I think.
Yeah.
Not to have people just do their job, but actually make them think about why they're doing it.
Well, the decisions are surely taken on, let's say, the upper management level in most of the times, in most traditional organizations. So at the end of the day, what are the meeting management people's roles in the organization? Actually, orchestrating that their their component comes out as best as possible from within that organization, making sure that they take pieces from everyone so that the strategy is reflected to the outside world. They are essentially the face of the company to what it shows outside. Whether we're talking about meeting face-to-face in a business meeting, the salesperson or the marketing person who is representing the company is actually the face of the company at that stage. If we're talking about a larger meeting, whether that is an incentive or whether that is a sales conference or that is the annual conference of an organization, we're talking about the actual organization putting its face and reputation out with that event. So the people working in the back end, and essentially the meeting managers, have a very big responsibility in really taking the correct message out, as long as they have the ability to derive the correct message out. Sometimes, and this is where the problem is in many organizations, the meeting managers are just told to do that without justifying why and what is in the back end. Not many meeting managers are involved at a strategic level within the company or within the marketing department in order to know why the events are held. So for those who aren't, I'm asking you to open your eyes and make sure you're involved. For those who are already involved, make sure you keep knocking on the door of the C-suite and going back to them with value data and how events are playing back into the company. But for those who really don't yet, you need to communicate the message. So today's takeaways. You can harness the power of meetings to make sure your organization is effective internally and externally. Why is that internally as well? Anybody want to contribute to that? No? Internally would be because you have to interact with all other departments. You are one of the key departments in a company that really has to go and knock on everybody's door and make sure you have them on board in order to create the event you need in the best possible way. Not many departments can say that in all companies. Yes, all departments are interrelated, but you're mostly the face and the human contact within the company for the company. That's what happens when you create an event for the employees of the company, for instance. That's the only place you can see it in real life, in actual fact. When you are creating an event for the outside world, you're actually bringing people together within the company, but you don't see it right away until you see a very good result from the outside. And then you have the good feeling that you have created something as a team. If you do an internal event and it's a whole big blast of a motivational or an incentive for your colleagues, you can only know if it went well depending on the result and the long faces that come after the meeting. And that has an impact internally in the organization. That would determine how well sales might go in the next year. That might determine who might leave the company if the relationships between departments are not well. And yes, there's a big impact on how people interact in an incentive that might be organized well or bad from a meetings department. So we've talked about that. I only have one end note to go through, that meetings can have a profound impact on your organization if they're considered strategically. Stop wasting money because it hurts the organization. And if you understand the strategic role of meetings and implement them as such, you will make a difference. So we more or less have come to the end of the lecture part.
This is the end of the recorded presentation. Thank you.